Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. It says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Say amen to God's word, you may be seated. When I was studying this message, I gave it many different titles, if you would. I started off with God's strength. I didn't see the fit just right, so I went to God's grace. Well, grace kind of narrowed it down a little bit, so I went to God's power. And when I got God's power, I studied the word grace a little bit more, and I found that grace, the main meaning of it, was favor. So the next title of this message would be Going Forth in God's Favor. If you were to look up that word grace that he talks about in that last part of the passage, and great grace was upon them all, it has many different meanings, from acceptable, benefit, favor, from gift, to graciousness, joy, liberality, pleasure, and thankfulness. I was studying this more, and I found that favor kind of encompassed them all, and it kind of grouped them all together under one thing, and that's God's power. And we only get God's power because we have God's favor. Grace can be summed up in this one word, God's favor. Favor, then being defined as strength, help, counsel, direction, support for various trials and duties of life. This is what we need and we always need, even after we're saved. Many people talk about God's grace as salvation, but it's far beyond that. God's favor is needed in the duties after salvation to keep us in his hand and keep us in his way. Without God's favor, we'd surely die, we'd surely perish in this world. I'd like to go through this with favor. We talk about it a lot, and it's mentioned a lot in Christianity, but it's not defined very much. And I'd like to define it a little bit here this afternoon, if I would. I'd like to first start out in our inability to be saved apart from God's grace. In John 6 and 44, it's a very well-known passage. No man come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We so much need God's favor, his grace, and our salvation. It is only by his favor, where he first loved us, that we then love him. Without his favor, we would surely be in hell today. It's his favor that's keeping us saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost each day we spend upon this world. Us living holy in an unholy world is only possible by God's favor and his grace. So in Ephesians 2 and 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. It is by God's grace that we are saved. By the scriptures telling us this. In Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Apart from God's grace, there is no salvation. When you have someone's favor, if you have someone's heart with you, they will stick with you to the end. As Brother Woods preached this morning, we cannot pray for someone until we have more than a surface relationship with somebody. We have to have their heart in our heart. As Paul had many people in his heart, there are many people he would pray for and many people he would fight for. And it is a great comfort to us that we are in God's heart today. It is by this that we have hope of tomorrow, that we can say, I can fight for tomorrow because I know who loves me. Christ loves me today. And that gives me hope for tomorrow. And it gives me hope that there can be a revival. It may be small, and it may be more condemning than it is salvation, but it is still a revival of God's grace and of God's word. It is by that that we know God's favor is upon us, we can move forward. Hallelujah. We must understand that apart from God's favor, yes, we are saved by it, but we cannot go on tomorrow apart from it. John 15 and 4 says, Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Christ here paints a pretty pathetic picture of a branch that is not attached to the vine anymore. It's useless, it doesn't bring no more fruit, it's dead. The only good is it for the cast in the fire and maybe useful little heat later on. That is the only good of a vine that is cast away from the branch, or the branch cast away the vine, excuse me. Without us, without the grace that God has given us, without favor God provides for us, like that life-flowing juice that the vine provides for branches, we cannot be in the exercise of grace. We must be in the exercise of grace daily, realizing daily that it is by God's grace that I wake up this morning. It is by God's grace and God's favor that I move forward this morning. It is by God's grace and God's favor that I can do anything to bring him fruit or any excellence in him that I can move forward. It is by his grace. We must exercise daily in the grace of God by realizing our uselessness and our hopelessness without him. We cannot perform good works. We cannot exercise his grace. We cannot do anything apart from the goodness and the grace of God, of Christ. Continuous to do so as long as he lives, not by virtue of his own free will, power, and strength, but by grace continually received from Christ. That is how we must live, not by virtue of our own free will, nor our power, nor our strength, but by grace continually received from Christ. A broken man before Christ is a useful man. A man that says, I am dead, I have nothing. I cry out to God, I lay it all before him on the altar. That is a man that God will use. God is not seeking to glorify you. He's seeking to glorify his son, Jesus Christ. That's why the Holy Ghost is sent, to glorify Christ. That's why, unless if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you must be broken, absolutely. Because God will accept none of your glory. It will be his or nothing. He does not want yours or anybody else's. You cannot take the place of God's glory. It is his glory that will be shown in his own. That's why a broken man can be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why a man that says, I don't have nothing to bring, I have only been to gain from Christ. That's why I go forward in Christ's power, not my own. Study on that, for without me, you can do nothing. One commentary said, nothing that is spiritually good, no, not anything at all, be it little or great, easy or difficult to be performed. Nothing can think a good thought, speak a good word, or do a good action, can either begin one, nor when it is begun, perfect it. Nothing is to be done without Christ, without his spirit, grace, strength, and presence. That pretty sums it up right there. If this church will move forward, if it is going to be the light that is promised by the Holy Spirit, if we are going to touch the world, not only our nation or our town, but the world, we must realize it is going to be only by God's grace and by his power. Paul said it right in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In that passage, he was talking about that he is the least of the apostles. He is the least of them all. But he does say that in that same passage that he's talking about, he said, I could be better. I could be, if you look at my works, I'm doing pretty good. If you do see anything that I say, I could be compared to them. But I realize one thing, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we must never abuse this grace. The minute we start to use it for our glory, just as it's just a daily request. The man said that we could touch God through our prayers. If we ever start to think that that is because we're something special, and it's not just by his grace, he will take it away. He is not going to give it to no one that will use it for their own glory, for the vain glory of man. It will be God or nothing. There is a purpose to God giving us favor. There is a purpose to God giving us strength and grace. It is not so we can do our own thing, it is so we can bring forth fruit for Christ, as it just mentioned in the verse there. You step outside the vine and it's over. Without God's grace, you might as well hang it all up. You might as well close the doors. As soon as the grace of God leaves this church, as soon as we start doing anything but outside of God's word, I don't want to stay around here. This is going to be one day church. I want to get as far away as possible. I want to find someone who's broken and humble before the God that we serve. Just like Brother Rich preached that message of the high and lofty one. I don't want to be anywhere where the high and lofty one is not put into his proper place as the head of the church. In 2 Timothy 2 and 1, it says, God therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. This word, be strong, I looked it up, and it's more along the lines of be strengthened in the grace that is Christ Jesus. Be strengthened in his favor. I don't know about anybody else, but I don't want just the crumbs of God's power. I want all I can get. There is no reason for a true, Bible believing Christian to live below what God has provided for him. There is no reason for a Christian to live in depression. Yes, there are times of trouble, and there's times of trial, and yes, I understand that you have to go through them, and yes, I understand that they build up faith, but there's no reason for God not to be able to show forth his strength and his power and overcoming presence. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but in the Christian music of today, it really bothers me sometimes. I'm not going to be a man who goes up there and says that you can only listen to certain gospel, or you can't listen to this, yada, 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 all that. I say if it glorifies God, listen to it. If it don't glorify God, then don't listen to it. That's pretty basic right there. But the Bible, they limit God so much. And if you listen to more of the Southern gospel type, they talk about being in the valley all the time. And if you listen to the Hillary type of today, it's more of, I've sinned today, God help me. And it's pathetic ways. I heard one man's wife, he said, they're Christians, and they know the truth, but she said that if I wasn't a Christian, if I listened just to Christian music today, I wouldn't want to be a Christian. They're so pathetic. Their faith is only good to the next trial, and once the trial comes, they need more of it. And it's just, I wouldn't want to live in that kind of life. There's no victory. And it's just true for the valley. If we listen to what they're saying today, it's a pathetic life to be a Christian. There's no power, and there's no overcoming spirit of God. That's what we need more and more. If you want to show forth a real church, you show forth a church that can overcome the devil, and can stop him right to the ground where he needs to be, and you can move on. We don't need a church that's blocked every temptation that comes into the church, and that's stumped every time it comes by, and we can't move forward anymore. We need a church that keeps on moving. One hell comes, we just get up, we get over it, and we move on to the next one. There's a bigger picture going on here. There's Christ to be pleased. There's a God to be served.
Yes, amen.
So Ephesians 6 and 10, and finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's the same word, strengthen. Be strengthened in the Lord. Daily be with him. Daily get strength from him, and you'll be able to handle whatever the devil throws at you. If you know, it's been preached so many times, but I don't know if we get it. If you're not going to pray, you're not going to move forward. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to move forward. It's been preached and preached and preached. I can't tell you how many times I've heard it in this church. But yet I have struggled with it. It's such a simple thing. The more you pray and the more you read God's word, the more you get closer to him, and the more power there's at. If we would just grasp the simple things that we hear each day, if we would just apply them, we would move forward in a great way. There's enough truth preached in this church alone that this nation can be touched. And I know there's other churches. There are other churches out there who are preaching the truth, who really want revival. They are trying to move forward all they can. If the church would just get serious about it, and they take the principles that we hear each and every day, and we would apply them, revival would have done come. There would be soldiers saved daily each day. We will have a lot to answer for. A lot to answer for when we reach that judgment day. And if the Lord does it, I don't know how he does it. If he does bring like a big TV screen and roll back all that we've heard. Every time he comes to a service and says, this was preached, why didn't you apply it? This was preached, why didn't you move that way? This was preached. If you would have done this, you could have obtained this obstacle and you wouldn't have fallen. We will have a lot to answer for. Each time a message is preached in this church and it goes unheeded or anywhere else, if you hear truth preached, it's still truth preached. Whether who it comes from or it doesn't matter. As long as it's still truth, it is still truth, and we need to adhere to it. And every time we hear truth, if we do not apply it, we will have a lot to answer for. A lot of grace has been given to us. And where much is given, much is required. And we will have a lot to answer for. If you look up this word strong, it means strengthen. And the word strengthen means to empower, to enable, increase in strength, and to make strong. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says, he said unto me, my grace, or my favor, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Romans 8 and 31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're all killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, what have we got to fear? What have we got to dread? What have we got to fear about going into this world and preaching? As Brother Walsh says, we say that's a hard thing to do. I know it's in the mind, I don't know why it's there, but if you think about it, what are we afraid of? What's going to happen to us? A little mockery? A cruel laughter? I mean, is that all they can throw at us? If they kill us, to live as Christ, to die as gain. I mean, if you think about the Christian, if everybody knew what the Christian really had, everybody would have been a Christian. Everybody would want to be. What have you got to fear? What have you got to lose? If you go forward in Christ, if you live one day on this earth, and it's for Christ, and you got it all, you gain eternity. What are we afraid of? I know it's in the mind, and I understand it myself. I understand, I think sometimes, why in the world are you afraid of that? What have you got to fear about? The eternal one is with you, and what are they going to do to you? Nothing can take away the salvation that God has given us. If we would grasp it, if we would really get a hold of what God is to us, we would move forward in a way that we never thought possible. We would go forward, and we would touch this world, because we would never stop growing. We would never stop telling people, look what Jesus has done. Look what he has done for me. Look what he can do for you. If we would get a hold of what we really have, we would really move forward in Christ. It comes with prayer, though, knowing him and knowing his word. Not only that, there are trials and there are tribulations. And I may have not articulated it just right, but I understand there will be times of depression in a Christian's life. There will be times of just absolute groaning before Christ and just pouring your heart and soul out because you just can't seem to get over something. That's why God just makes provision for that. The word grace comes from the word meaning to be calmly happy or well off. And this peace can only come from knowing where we stand in Christ. It comes from the primary verb to be full of cheer. To be full of cheer. It means to be personal, especially as a salutation. It means grace, brother. Grace. Happy grace. Happiness. It's come to you by God's grace and by his favor. A Christian can be happy. A Christian can be full of joy. Knowing not only that he is saved today, but he is saved tomorrow. Not only that he is saved tomorrow, but he is saved 100 years from now. His eternal salvation. It's eternal salvation by God's grace and by God's favor. It's the ability to get through. With God's grace, nothing can stop us from moving forward in Christ. But this peace, this grace, can only come from assurance. In Hebrews 4 and 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's not arrogance. It's assurance. It's knowing what we have and by whom we have it of. It's not saying that I can do it in my own strength. It's saying, it's pleading the blood every time I come before that throne. It's saying, I know I'm not worthy of this, but God, your Son, has made a way that I can come and talk to you today. It's by your grace that I can come and I can talk to and commune with the holiest of holies, because God's grace has come, his blood has come to sanctify my soul, and he has made me worthy to partake of this great salvation. It's by his grace and his grace alone that we can have this. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We will not be able to go forward in the strength of the Lord until we settle in our hearts the truth of God's word. We can have a fight for a doctrine which we are not totally sure about. We can have a fight for a conviction that we are not completely convicted about. We were talking around our lunch table, and it's so true. Many of the holiness pastors, they make holiness a preference instead of a conviction. They say, I prefer people to live this way, but I don't believe they have to make the heaven. It's not a conviction anymore. And once something becomes a preference and not a conviction, you'll stop fighting for it. Once you stop, starts becoming less than a conviction and something worth dying for, you'll give it up and you'll hang it up and say, it's better this way, but if you don't want it, then that's your own prerogative. Something can never be worth stop working fighting for, as long as we're convicted of it daily. If we get up and we read that scripture each day and say, holiness unto the Lord, if we get up and read that, well, holiness is this kind of a lifestyle. Holiness is this way of living. Not just in dressing, but in attitudes and different ways we act. But that we start, we read that verse and say, holiness unto the Lord, holiness is this kind of attitude. I will stay with that because it spouses holiness unto the Lord and nothing else. I will fight for that until I die. Because it's conviction. It's life and death to me. Because as long as something becomes less than life and death to me, it's not worth dying for. It's not worth fighting for and true to death. Every word, every doctrine preached out of this word, if it's true to this word, it's worth dying for. It's worth laying our life down for. It's worth every miracle and assault that we can get, because it's worth eternity. This word, if we preach it like it is, it's worth eternity for all who hear it. Romans 16:17, now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such said not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come blood unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you rise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. We cannot mark those which would cause divisions and offenses if we do not know who they are. And we cannot recognize them until we get our mind and our spirit into this book and we understand it. We must know this book. The deceivers are going to come. They've already started coming, but they're only going to get worse until Christ comes. There's a warning to us. We must read this book. We must get it in our minds. We must get it ingrained in our minds daily. Each day we need to read as much as possible. We need to study as much as possible. Not just read it, but understand it. If you don't understand something, then get you something that can help you understand it. Take it to someone who knows more. Or find a book or something that can help you realize what this word means. We have to understand it. I don't know if we realize what's coming down the pipe. I know I haven't, like I should have. I've been thinking lately, Lord, I don't know enough to study. I need to study so much more, because there's so much coming down this pipe that if you don't know better, you will be swayed. We must not only have God's word in our hearts, but we must have God's spirit of discernment in us. We need it daily. We need to be so strong in the spirit, just absolutely overwhelming, full of him. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost. We do not know what's coming down the pipe. The storm is coming, and it's going to come up fast. And if we're not ready, we will be overtaken. There's not a man in this room or woman who can stand up by the storm by herself. Those who will not stay full in Christ will fall. They will receive the Antichrist. You say, no, yes, you would. If you do not know, if you cannot discern between the true and the false, if you are not full of the Holy Ghost when this time comes, you will fall. We need to wake up and see what's coming down the pipe. We need to understand that this world is going down a dark road. And if we do not study and pray and dig more like we've never done before, we will fall. This is not a time for spiritual laziness. This is not a time for people to lay back. Those times will never come again. If there ever was a time, I don't believe there ever was, but this time especially is not a time to lay back and be lazy. This time is a time to move forward, to grow up in Christ, and to dig deep as far as possible. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I won't be out in the forefront. The devil will not attack you out in the forefront if he can get you in the closet. He will not attack you out openly if he knows he can sneak something in behind you, sneak something in the closet, and sneak into your mind, the deception. He won't have to attack you openly. He can get you behind. He can come up from behind and stab you in the mind with his word. His words are a lot more sweeter than we think. His deception is a lot stronger than we think. We must know this word. We're going to go forth in God's favor. We must stick with him, tight as we've ever stuck with him. We must move forward in Christ or we'll die. The truth must be deserted. Unity and peace will not last long. There's a church that is united in its doctrine, that is united in love and caring. We cannot love each other or pray for one another if we're in a disagreement all the time. We need to be one in not only doctrine, but in experience. We need to be one in a church that is full of the Holy Ghost by experience, not just by head knowledge. We need him in experience. We need to all experience the same God that has saved us, has sanctified us, and filled us with the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost as a church. That way we can fight for the doctrine of sanctification. That way we can fight for the doctrine of salvation and Holy Ghost and filling as a church. One man in a church that'll fight for it, he'll get somewhere, but not as strong as a man who's with a body of believers behind him standing up and say, this is truth, and this is the way God's designed it, and this is the way God wants it to be. That is the only way we'll make a mark upon this church, and upon this world, is if there's a unified church moving forward in Christ. Knowing the doctrines and in experience. Not just, I'm not talking about shouting and praising God, that's wonderful. But I'm talking about experience as when God helps you in the daily life. When God helps you when you need something to say to someone, he comes and brings a word of knowledge unto you, and you know that's what he wants me to say. We need a unity in that. We need a unity in knowing that Christ will help us in a time of trouble, that he will be there when we need him to strengthen us on the forefront of this world. When we fight along the battles, we need to know as a church that Christ will be with us. That way we can stand up against Satan. That God's favor will be upon us if we trust him with our lives. If we trust him with our words, if we trust him with our relationships, if we trust him with our pride, pride as in our daily life, our being known out in the world, if we trust God with it, God will bring something out of it more than we could ever thought of, more than we could ever seen before. If we will trust God with it, he will bring us to the end. Thank you.